Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes this, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever." So right there, he gives the gospel message. It's about Jesus. It's about the fact that he gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age. And then he goes on to say this, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." That was happening back in Paul's day. It's been happening ever since. There is so much confusion within Christian circles today around the simple gospel message. What is it? I mean, you ask that question on Google, you're going to come up with all kinds of strange answers in trying to define what the gospel is. But it's very clear in the Word of God that the gospel is merely this, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is the one that saves us. He is the one that gives us new life. He is the one that claims us as his own. Jesus and Jesus alone. That's basic gospel. That's what this Christmas story is all about. It's about him entering into our world and doing for us something that we could not do for ourselves.
Yeah.
That's why it's good news.
And that is Basic Gospel, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast today. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. Want to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a Bible question, we'd love to hear, hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with our friend Brad. Hi, Brad.
Hey, Bradley.
How you doing? I started with the first half an hour, as I usually do, and this just kind of comes forth from that, but I'll try to keep it in framed in context. But I will let everybody know that's listening, I do have an agenda, and the agenda that I have is Jesus and the basic gospel. Basic doesn't mean simple. It means foundational. And anyway, the one gentleman was asking how he was confused on how we're born again and how faith works. And I wanted to, if he's listening or someone listens to the archives, if you go to 1 Peter 1:3, it says that by the great mercy of God, he caused us to be born again. And then they can read James 1:18 and 1 Peter 1:23, and that will back up those scriptures. If anybody thinks it's them, I think that kind of, that took me out of the thing about me. The other point I wanted to ask, you guys have been so good to explain Hebrews 6:4-6, and I know that context for that starts in Hebrews chapter 5 around verse 11 or 12 and goes all the way through there. And I understand the context. I agree 100% with what you say, but can you help me in my little pea brain I have at times? Can either one of you explain to me on verse 6, the underlying Greek that frames the fact that someone who has fallen, who has never fallen away again, can't be renewed to what they have never experienced? Is that possible?
Well, good question, Brad, and it's interesting to kind of read the underlying language, the Greek language in this. It's talking about attitudes really in belief systems. This particular person that's being described in verses 4 through 6 has a rebellion toward God. They have heard the message about Jesus. They have tasted it in the sense of seeing it lived out within their community. And it's specifically directed toward Jews. That's the context of Hebrews. It was pointed toward a Jewish audience. So they had seen some of their brothers, some of their sisters respond to the good news of Jesus. And so they tasted it through them. But they decided it wasn't for them. So they rejected it. They rebelled against it. And in that attitude of rebellion, they would basically be with those guys who were standing outside of Pilate's door when he brought Jesus out and said, "Here's the man," and they started yelling, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." Well, these people would be saying the same thing. They would be yelling, "Crucify, crucify, get rid of him." And in that attitude, it's impossible to be brought back to repentance. It's impossible to come back to that state. So that's what this is talking about.
And it's impossible to bring them back to that state which they have witnessed,
right,
with other brothers and sisters.
Correct.
Okay. One other thing in this season that everybody's does for different reasons, but I'm inundated with people that call the program and people surround me that believe one can lose their salvation. And I've really come to the point, and I tend to simplify things like this. I really believe that they're resting and trusting on man's view of salvation and not really God's view of salvation, because of all the pertinent points, like Philippians 1:6, where God has started a work in you and he's going to complete it, always comes unless you want to leave. Or nothing can separate you from the love of God, like Paul says, or except if you want to separate yourself. And it seems like these people are always saying and inserting, doing this eisegetical gymnastics, and inserting themselves into the view of God's salvation and saying Christians are the only ones that are stronger than God and the Holy Spirit, it seems, in their viewpoint. And I just know that my salvation and their salvation, if they're true believers, it's in Jesus, and it's not going to go anywhere but to heaven with him.
And well, Brad, if we can lose our salvation, then Jesus is not a savior. There is
right.
not a good news story. Jesus might as well stayed in heaven. If
and
he could really carry out his mission to save his people, then he's not a savior. So if you believe that you can lose your salvation, then I think you have to take a look at your belief about Jesus being your savior.
Absolutely. It's man's view and not God's view.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for taking my phone call. And God bless you guys. If I don't talk to you before next week, you guys have a blessed holiday. And I'd sure like to be in your front room, Bob, listening to the Christmas story on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, Merry Christmas to you, Brad. Thanks for your
thank
call.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Plenty of open lines. If you'd like to be a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, why, we encourage your call right now. Got a question? We'd love to talk about it with you. 1-800-677-9377. Call quickly. Time on the clock. Open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
I used to be one of those people that believed you could lose your salvation. That's the way I was raised. I accepted it completely. I believed it with all my heart. It scared me to death. And the longer, the older I got and the more of my own failures to live up to my own standards, let alone God's, it struck me that somehow my view of God must be wrong, because the things I was reading in the Bible did not agree with the things I believed in my heart. And I had to come to some conclusions. And I'm sure there are people out there that are wrestling with this stuff right now. You have to look at Jesus and say, what did he do? And if he didn't do that, then why are we wasting our time? because there is no salvation if Jesus doesn't save me completely. What kind of God would that be worth? Why would you serve somebody like that? I can get beat up less, any street here. Why would I try to define God in terms of the world's biggest bully? I was wrong, and I had to come to that conclusion and replace that conclusion. That was just as important. Replace that that conclusion with the truth of who Jesus is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's important where point. That's why we need to take a fresh look at the gospel message and realize it truly is all about Jesus. There's no other way to slice it. We try to.
Mm-hmm.
We bring in our own human understanding. We hear teachings. I was thinking here recently, my daughter Caitlin plays softball, and she's in college now. But when she first got into the softball world and her first select team, she really struggled. I mean, she didn't know all the fundamentals and that sort of thing, but she really wanted to be a good player.
Mm-hmm.
And she opened herself to all kinds of advice. And I remember one particular game, she was called on to pinch hit, and she gets up in the batter's box, and you could tell she was scared. She just didn't know, but you could also tell she was just praying with everything inside of her. Lord, please help me hit this softball. And I was praying, Gina was praying, all the parents in the stands had their fingers crossed, and she struck out, and you could just see the disappointment in her face, and she marched back to the dugout. I mean, she was so just down on herself. And of course all the dads thinking, I just have the right answer, and so they just beelined it to her after the game and filled her head with all kinds of information. They thought it was going to help, but boy, it just made matters worse. It just confused her, and the next time she got in the batter's box, she was just paralyzed. And that's the way it is. We hear all of this information, it just swirls up there in our heads of ours, and we try to fit it together and piece it together and make some sense out of it, but it never makes sense. And at some point, we just have to, flip the switch, turn that off, and say, I'm going to take a fresh look at the gospel. I'm going to see what the Word of God truly has to say about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what that means to me. And then I'm going to let that stand. I'm going to draw a conclusion that it truly is all of Jesus and none of us.
Important point.
It is. It's a very important point.
Yeah. 1-800-677-9377. As I said, still time on the clock. Still time for your question to Bob and Richard. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to New Bedford, Mass. And talk with Tony. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. And thanks once again for taking my call. I'm kind of in a dilemma. I have a 14-year-old son, and I'm married, and I haven't gone to church, and I don't really go to church, and I haven't gone to church in, a few years, and I kind of convinced myself, and I think I'm right. I'm not, 100% sure, but it's just almost like, my wife will go to church, and she's like, oh, why don't you come with me, and this and that, and I just feel like, I feel like the relationship with the Lord is a personal relationship, and like I'll go to my prayer closet, that kind of thing. And I constantly listen to you guys on the radio, and I listen to preachers all week on my way to work, on the way home. And I feel like kind of torn because, I go to church, and first of all, it's temptations everywhere, women are dressed, to kill, and I struggle with that kind of thing as it is. As a man, and I don't think women get that. Or if they do, they just don't care. I'm not sure, and it's the same kind of message all the time, and it's, 20 minutes of song, and then, we're going to, crack a few jokes here and there, and it's, see you next week, and it's pretty much the same thing over and over again. And it's really nothing that, I guess what it is, I'm struggling more of how to be a Christian and want to be a Christian and grow as a Christian, but I want something with, more definition and more in-depth as to what's going on in the world, where are we in history, instead of, Moses crossed the river, crossed the ocean and he separated. I already know all that, it's almost like it's the same old kind of thing, it's messages that I've already heard 1,000 times, and, you know, it's same old kind of thing. And it's, that's kind of the reason why I'm always looking for more, you know, like I said, in-depth kind of information. But I struggle mostly because my son's 14. I've never taken him to church, and that's really bothering me because he won't go with his mom alone. He loves the Lord. He's got a great heart. I know he, you know, he prays, and I know he loves the Lord, and it's, but at the same time, there's no fellowship with, you know, kids of his peers, of his age, and I feel guilty about that because I feel like if I went, he'd go, you know?
That may be the case, Tony. You just don't know, and you and your wife, you know, should sit down and talk about how y'all want to approach this together. And the decision about your son should be a decision that the two of you make together. And so if you feel that it's important to expose him to some teaching, expose him to Christian friends, then you make that decision and you decide where you're going to do that, what group you're going to be involved in. Now, as far as you personally, this gospel message cannot be lived out in isolation. Nor can we learn everything about this gospel message in isolation. This gospel message is to be lived out in community, lived out with other people. That's just the nature of love.
Yes.
Love is not selfish. Love is not inward. Love is not an individualistic thing. Love is about others. So we walk by faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith is expressed in love toward other people. And so that's why the Bible tells us to be involved with other Christians. When we read that passage in Hebrews, for example, that says that we should not give up meeting together, we think that verse is saying go to, you know, denomination X, big building at such and such a address, and become a member of that church. Well, that's not what this passage was talking about. They didn't even have those types of churches. People met under trees. They met in houses. But there was this community of believers that would come together. They would pray together. They would read the word together and talk about how it applies in day-to-day life. Certainly, the believers back in that day, in Paul's day, they had a lot of political concerns. There was this Roman Empire, and they were pressing in on believers, and many of them were being persecuted. And so they would gather together to get encouragement and to figure out, well, how are we going to hold up underneath that? How are we going to apply what we know in light of this persecution that's coming? How can we band together? So the fellowship of believers was vitally important, and the encouragement. And I think the same is true today. So Tony, my encouragement to you would be to find some believers that you can connect with, some friends that you can sit down and have some really vigorous conversation about what the scripture means, how it applies, and I think you would love
I long for that, actually, and it's that's what I'm struggling with, because in my heart of hearts, I'm like constantly like starving for, someone who understands the Bible more than just, you know, the ABCs, XYZs, you know.
Well, here's the deal, Tony. If you're gonna meet some believers, you probably need to go to places where believers congregate. So that may mean that, hey, I'm going to start going to a church on Sunday. But a part of that is saying, Lord, in going, I'm going to trust you to put some people in my life that I can actually be in relationship with. I don't want to just go and find my seat in the sanctuary, listen to a sermon, check it off, and then go home. I want to really be involved in people's lives. So if you go with that in mind, God will open up those doors. God will bring you the right people.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is. You know, I guess I'm just not getting involved, and I'm just complaining versus actually, you know, I have this, I don't know, I guess it's my personality or whatever, but I seem to just I find always like, oh, why is he talking about that for? And then it's just almost like the negative. I'm pointing out the obvious all the time, and it's like, oh, I already know that. I mean, that's obvious, but I mean, what happens to this and why is that? Like, more like in-depth questions that you don't really hear in church. You just kind of hear the real simple, Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for you. And but once you're beyond that and you want more like, you know, where are we in history? Where's America at?
Well, Tony,
let me just
jump in for a minute. Everybody, it's kind of like that Geico commercial, you know, with 15 minutes, you can save 15% on your car insurance. Well, everybody knows that. Well, yeah, everybody knows, every believer knows that God loves them. It's in the application where we get confused. What happens when I do go to church and those women dress the way they are, start, you know, me looking at them, I'm starting to think all sorts of things. And then the accuser comes in and says, and you call yourself a Christian. Well, hang on. Wait a minute. You may have something there, and you start entertaining those thoughts. Well, it's that simple truth that God loves you that it's going to break you out of it. That's foundational. That's stuff that it's of utmost importance, and you can never get away from that if you really want to live it out in day-to-day life. So I would just suggest to you kind of let God surprise you.
Yeah.
And he will.
Yeah, the best way to learn the deep things of God is not out of books. It's in relationship with other people. They will challenge you. You will challenge them like you can't believe. And it's only the grace of God that moves you forward in this application.
Well, Tony,
I want to take your advice. I appreciate that so much. But I mean, I appreciate you guys so much. I really, really do. You guys are a great help, and you know, I can actually ask the questions that I struggle with. But I'm sure there's a million guys like me out there, you know, struggling with the same kind of thing. But it's like, well, you know, where do we go to, you know? But anyway, God bless you both, and I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks, yeah. Tony.
Merry Christmas, man.
Yeah, thanks for the conversation. Well, let's go to Linford, listening to us in Idaho.
Yes. Hi, this is Lynn. Yeah, I just want to first let you know how much I appreciate your program.
Well, thank you so much.
I've been listening quite a while. I have some of your literature. But I wanted to just say about this last call. I'm 80 years old and been going to church all my life. And I use these two thoughts. I'm proud enough to feel like I can help the church and humble enough to know that I need church. It's going to church, you know, was like you talked about, the fellowship, the relationship, the challenging one another. And we have a men's group that meets 6:30 Thursday mornings. And it's been such a tremendous blessing where we can talk open and freely and challenge and inspire. And then we pray about all the different issues we face.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important stuff. It's really vital that we get involved with other believers. Like I said, God saved us individually, but then he added us to the body of Christ. We became a member of the body of Christ. And for us to function, we need all the other members of the body for us to really grow in the fullness of who Christ is and grow in our understanding of his love and grace. We certainly need each other. Well, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Forgiveness, The Door to Life.
And friends, we want to remind you that if what you're hearing every day on this broadcast is benefiting you, we need to have your support to keep the basic gospel coming. You know, God loves you and wants you to know the freedom and life that is yours in Jesus Christ and how it can impact your life every day. That's why we do what we do every day on the air. But it requires financial resources to remain on the air. In fact, we need to see additional donations of $250,000 by the end of this month. And we know a lot of you in our daily audience are able, without any strain whatsoever, to make a gift of $250 or more, you know, without missing a beat. If only 1,000 of you did so, we could meet our need by the end of this year. Or if 250 of you would make a gift of $1,000 today, that would meet our need. Would you be one of those? We need that kind of support from you right now. Also, as a reminder, the booklet Forgiveness, The Door to Life that we've been talking about is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 right now. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.